Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to The Good Place, the podcast. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. I played Sean. Today, we bring you part one of three of our special installments, What's Good? These conversations were recorded in the first 2 weeks of April 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic and quarantine via video conference with fans of The Good Place from all over the country and the planet. It is no surprise that they did, but I am so thankful that NBC and the entire Good Place family responded so quickly and favorably to my pitch that we do this, that we meet, that we see one another, that we commiserate and laugh and connect and worry and hope. From all of us here at the podcast team, Grant Rutter, Trey Booty, Lizzie Pace, and Matt Quezada, it is our hope that if even for a moment these conversations offer you even the faintest glimmer of certainty that good exists in the world, if I had any doubts about it prior, they've been erased by these wonderful connections. In the first 24 hours after our video request for submissions, we received 575 emails from all over the globe. By the time we started cataloging them the next day, it was nearly 800. At the time of this recording on April 8th, submissions continue to arrive. I read about 250. Someone read every one. His name is Grant Rutter. Joining me now is the producer of The Good Place, the podcast, Grant Rutter. Grant, man, why?
Hi, Mark. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. How many times have we submitted to things and never heard? I wanted to give all of the listeners who are beyond loyal to the show and the podcast a fair shot. You know, everyone's trying to find some way to help people, which is a great thing. And of course, I thought, what can I do for people? Well, what I can do is produce a podcast and I can give people an escape. And that's really what my skill set lends me to do. And I'm more than happy to do it. So yeah, that was my motivation.
It was so thoughtful and meaningful that you spent that time to read every single one. It would be lovely if we could respond to everyone and let them know that they've been heard. And I hope that this accomplishes that for the listeners to the podcast. Know that someone, probably Grant, read every single one. Grant, you said that you felt every emotion under the sun having read these.
I did. I mean, talk about getting to know your audience. I mean, I know so much about so many of you guys. And I read so many stories, both some sad, some happy, to hear your love for the show, the show and the place that it takes in your life. And one person even called out that we've created a Good Place community, never stepping into this project. And I think that, you know, we would do that for people. You know, of course, that speaks to the power of the show itself. But I mean, what a thought to think that we really created a community here. And now here we are in these tough times coming together and, you know, exchanging stories. And feeling some good emotion. A common theme and message throughout all the submissions from a lot of people were like, if anyone's really going to read this, I doubt anyone's going to see this anyway. And as to really compliment Mark's earlier statement, you were heard, and nobody submitted one that was better over the other. You were heard, and thank you for your submission.
And now, please enjoy a The Good Place, the podcast special edition. What's good? Hi, what is your name and where are you from?
I am Fergale Philippe and I'm from New York City.
Tell me a little bit about your life. What has you in New York City?
I am an actor. I have the great privilege and honor of currently performing in, well, not currently, but you know, currently performing in Hamilton, the musical on Broadway. I play the roles of Hercules Mulligan and James Madison. But as of right now, I'm just quarantining and staying home. but that's what's keeping me in New York.
Fergie, we're hearing such dire tales of New York City as a hotspot in particular. Do you have any contact? Do you know people who are sick? Do you have any friends that work in friends or family that work in healthcare?
Yes. So my mom actually is a pediatrician, and she is still going into work down in Miami, which fortunately hasn't been as crazy a hotspot. I'm thankful. I have lots of friends up here. I have some cousins who are nurses up here at some of the hospitals and stuff. I have a lot of friends who are just getting over COVID-19. And I also myself just kind of finished having COVID-19. I'm feeling much better. I'm feeling just fine. It was, I'm very lucky that I was one of the few people that it was just a head cold. For me, at least as far as the symptoms go. But yeah, New York has been a very dangerous spot, unfortunately. I went on a walk earlier today just to, you know, clear my mind earlier. And, you know, there are still long lines for the grocery stores and, you know, people are still just trying to get things done, but things have to be done just in a very specific way just because of the condition of the country. So yeah, New York, it's a little crazy right now.
I've been saying to friends recently that, you know, considering what so many are going through, those who are ill and also the heroes that are, you know, going to work every day to make food or deliver food or, you know, take people to the hospital or work on people in a hospital or in a healthcare setting, like this is such a small price to pay for the gigantic majority of us who have, you know, like, different than Katrina or Superstorm Sandy or whatever. Like there's potable water coming out of the faucet. The heat works, the freezer works. We have food and Wi-Fi. Like this is, there's a lot to be thankful for in this really tumultuous, terrible time. With all of that in mind, it still has to, like, it's not illegitimate to think about what it must mean to not be able to perform. What is, like, you must miss going to work.
Yeah, that's been the hardest thing for me. And so much of, I've been talking to my therapist a lot, and so much of talking to my therapist is about me personally finding myself outside of my career, outside of my craft. And I have had the fortunate experience that I haven't had a lot of time where, like, I wasn't working. And so I haven't had a lot of time to think about who I am when I'm separated from what makes me money. And I think so much of the human experience is associating your person with what makes you money. And so for me, and obviously I love my job and I love creating and I love performing. That's not, you know, to be put to the side, but it is interesting to kind of not have that and kind of look into myself and say, well, what are the other things that, you know, are going to make me feel valuable, make me feel whole and happy. And so that's been a journey, and I'm honestly still looking for that, and I'm still kind of sifting through all of that.
Yeah, it's weird not to interact. Like, it's weird not to mm-hmm. do what, you know, what our hearts drive us to do, kind of thing.
It's tough. Yeah.
Yeah, Fergie, exactly. Talk to me a little bit about The Good Place. How did you hear about it? Why did you start? That sort of thing.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Mike Schur. I love The Office and Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I love Dan Gore. I love Greg Daniels. I think everything they do is just wonderful. So I've always been a big fan. But I actually came upon The Good Place, I think it was between the first and the second season. I just found it on Netflix. And I'm also, I have a very non-shameful crush on Kristen Bell. And I saw something on Netflix that said The Good Place and Kristen Bell's beautiful face. And I was like, oh, it's probably some movie, some like indie movie she did that I've never heard of. And it was this show, this whole first season was there. And I was like, I've seriously never heard of this. And then I started watching. And then Ted Danson appears out of nowhere. And I was like, what is this? And I watched the entire first season in one night.
Is that true?
You know, very easy. Yeah, it was very easy for me to just like keep going. I think I came home from rehearsal. I'm pretty sure I was rehearsing for the Hamilton tour that I was doing at the time, and I was in New York, and I just was like looking for something to eat when dinner, and then I ended up finishing the whole first season that night. And I was hooked from the beginning. I just thought the writing was so clever. I thought all the performances were great. The jokes were hysterical. So yeah, it just completely took me by surprise, and it was so lovely.
I don't know if I've ever spoken to anyone who's watched the entire first season in one go. So you did not have a lot of ramp up time. Would you guess that the season one reveal of Holy Mother Forking Shirtballs, This Is the Bad Place, was more or less impactful having done it in a concentrated go?
I think it was more for me because as the show was starting, and I've heard so many people talk about this on the show where it's like, oh, they're dead. Okay, great. So it's not really going to go anywhere. But I was also like, I feel like Mike Schur as a creator isn't somebody who's like, there's always a storyline, even if it's something comedic, there's always going to be something progressing. And so even with that, I still kind of fell for the trap of like, well, it's just going to be kind of a situational comedy and this, and the third. And then the surprise happened and I audibly gasped and was like, you've got to be kidding me. So it dropped really heavily on me at like 2 a.m. in my bedroom.
Friggy El Philippe, what's good?
I think a couple things are good. I think one, the world. And I think that right now is a kind of hard time to see that maybe. I think from both physically with what's happening, but also emotionally, how everybody is trying to deal with this time. It's a very easy, and I'm speaking for sure to myself, it's a very easy time to get impatient. Very easy time to get frustrated. But I think that everybody is truly quite literally doing the absolute best they can to get through this really crazy, scary time. Every single essential worker, health practitioner are all good. They are heroes. They are who we're going to look back on in history as the people that got us through this. And then I said this in the email, and I'll say it again, I mean it, you're good. I think that, you know, I'm a part of a lot of podcasting communities, and I'm hoping to start one myself very soon. And if there's one thing I know is that podcasts save, and they help, and they are a voice that a lot of people rely on when they feel like there's not a lot of voices outside that they can rely on. And something like The Good Place, the podcast, and the care and love that you personally have given it, Mark, seriously, is exquisite. And it's definitely helped me through a lot of dark times. And I can only imagine how many other people it's helped through who have, you know, been through so much worse and who are struggling much more than I am right now. So yes, that's what's good.
Thank you, Fergie. That's very kind of you. I am the face of this thing, but Grant Rutter and Trey Booty and Lizzie Pace and Matt Quezada are all absolutely instrumental, and not a bit of this would happen without them. So yeah. I need to invoke them as well.
Yeah, and to them as well. I give my absolute love and respect to them as well.
I hope you don't mind if a friend joins us.
Hi.
Hi, Darcy.
How are you?
Oh, this is lovely. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you in the entire world?
I am in New York City.
Cool.
Yes.
Are you losing your mind a little bit?
You know, we're getting there.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my therapist right now. I was like, yeah, I definitely need another session soon, but we're doing okay. We're doing okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Darcy, are you kneeling in your kitchen?
Okay, here's what I'm doing. I'm making banana bread.
Oh wow.
Oh my god.
Yes. And it smells delicious.
And I'm afraid it's gonna like overflow the pan. So I'm just sort of here's what I did. I set up a chair. Oh. And I'm just sitting by my oven.
You know what they say? A watched banana bread
never
overflows
spills
the pan.
Over the edge of the pan.
That's awesome. I'm sure that'll be delicious.
Yeah.
Darcy, did you cook this much before quarantine?
God, no. I truly, literally, for real, have cooked more during quarantine than I've cooked in my life. Like you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. The amount of things that I've cooked in the last 3 weeks is more than in my entire life.
My life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was that, like, one of our handlers in Austin, was
I do remember
substanced, and
we can't say much, but
can't talk about
there
it,
was
yeah.
there I guess people
well you were at the panel, right? Were you at that panel with Fergie, were you at the panel with Darcy and me and Lauren and Melissa Fimero and Lauren Ash
at the Austin?
Was that the line that you got?
I don't think I was at that one.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just at the good place
the morning one.
The getting to the venue was a whole thing. So I jumped out of the SUV and I saw Fergie react of like, I know who that is. So I stopped and we talked. And then he said that you guys messaged afterwards. You went to school with the Hamilton from his tour?
Yes.
That's so crazy.
Yes.
With Joseph
Morales.
Yes.
The most talented person. My God. Yeah. He was the MC to my Sally Bowles. Can you believe that? He was so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something heartbreaking, Darcy?
Yeah.
Fergie's on Broadway in Hamilton right now.
Okay, meaning how long have you been with it?
Been with it since the end of January.
Okay. And now it's dark. But when it comes, that's heartbreaking, but you're fine.
Yes, I fortunately know that when I come back, I will have work. Many of my friends can't say the same, unfortunately.
Me too.
Which is really sad.
Totally. And yes. Including a Hamilton friend, Javier Munoz, who was doing a one-man show.
Yes. Yeah, I heard about that.
Just think of like all the work that goes into these shows. Another friend of mine was rehearsing for months. They did like 3 nights of a show and then it had to close. I mean, that's a killer, you know?
It's really crazy. And so much of it is that like us as performers, we're so egocentric in both the best and worst ways that we also want to find the root cause of everything and we want to blame something. But this is such a rare occasion where we literally can't. And so we have a lot of pent up emotions that we can't apply anywhere.
And I know exactly.
More frustrating than getting an actual like, this person decided your show is done.
Yeah. And if anything, it's like complaining about it it feels like even terrible to complain about it.
It does nothing. Yeah. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. But you'll be back on soon and Mark and I will be in New York, I'm sure, at some point, and we can't wait to see you on that stage.
Let me know whenever you guys want to come and I will hook you guys up. Not even a question. Yeah.
Don't you dare. I mean,
I'm getting on a plane right this minute.
I'm serious.
I think I don't think we can fly, Mark, but if we start walking.
It's only 2,300 miles.
Yes. By the time we're there. Yeah.
Fergie, so nice to meet you. Thank you for watching The Good Place. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Darcy, thanks for jumping in. It's so good to see you.
Good to see you both.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, what is your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Inga. I am from Cologne, Germany. And happy to be here.
Now, you said you had some questions for us. Do you want to talk about The Good Place first, or do you want to ask me your questions first?
Let's start with my questions and maybe we'll get to talking a little bit more if you're up for it. My first question is, what do you think Sean feels inside his cocoon? Because he is cocooning himself as much as others.
I think that Sean would make certain that his cocoon was slightly less gooey. None of this is canon. I don't know this. I'm not
but
a writer.
It's your interpretation.
Right. Yeah. I would think, you know, I threatened that Vicky's cocoon, that it is gooey in there. Look, Sean's a demon. Maybe he likes the goo.
Probably. Yeah. Cool. And do you yourself have a backstory you have in mind when you think of Glenn? So what did Glenn do wrong in your mind?
What didn't Glenn do wrong? I think the disconnect with Glenn for demons like Sean, again, not canon, but it's just that he's so like cheery and upbeat. He just doesn't, he's not a cool kid. He doesn't fit in with the rest of us very mean cool kids.
Mm-hmm. So it's mainly about being cool. And would you yourself do the demon Zumba thing?
Say it again.
Didn't you have a scene where someone comes in and says, isn't this demon Zumba, or isn't that Zumba aerobics or something?
Right. So what is Sean's exercise?
Yeah.
It probably is like yoga on a bed of nails or, you know, something really egregious like that. I have questions for you. How did you, why did you start watching The Good Place? How did you hear about it? That sort of thing.
It's been a while back. I was working for my college in a very, very small office where we had a lot of DVDs because I do media studies, and we just had a lot of films there. So if any of our professors ever said, yeah, well, watch this and that film or that and that show, we were the ones renting it to you. So it was basically like a video rental place, which are apparently gone now, but anyway, we still have one, and I think it's still there. I was working for this really, really nice man, Christian, and he was telling me about that new show, and he said, yeah, well, it could be really goofy, but it is actually really smart, and it has a lot to do with philosophy, and he really liked it, so he got me into it, and I think I probably even watched it before it properly aired here.
You had advanced screeners. That's cool. That's inside information. I like it. Now, did you throughout the four seasons of the show, did you have any favorite scenes or characters or episodes or moments or jokes or anything that comes to mind?
That's probably the one that I would say everybody says, but maybe it's different. I really, really like the Darcy Carden Janet episode. I love it. She is doing such a good job. That must have been crazy. Yeah. I really like that one, and so many of those scenes, just gags and stuff that constantly keeps up in my comes up in my my conversations, where I sometimes have to explain, yeah, you see, this is the show, The Good Place, and that's a quote from that. But yeah, it's really, really that one I liked.
You're quoting it to your friends in Germany and then having to explain what it is.
Also, I needed to need to translate it myself, because I know that it is dubbed and a lot of people are watching it too. So The Good Place isn't actually The Good Place in Germany, so it's not der gute Ort, but it is der grüne Bereich, so the green district. It's really weird for me now, because I started watching it in English and I never really switched. So if I'm quoting it now, I might actually be misquoting it, but just translating in my head, it's a little bit tough.
So the translated title of NBC's The Good Place in German is The Green District?
Sort of. I mean, they're calling it The Good Place, the show The Good Place, but within the show The Good Place, whenever they're talking about it, yeah, it's The Green District.
Interesting. Yeah. That's fun. I like that. Inga Meckel, what's good?
I picked an initiative that's actually really close to my heart for a couple of years now. I have tried to reduce my food waste because I just noticed that I live by my on my own, so I just noticed that everything is packaged for way more people, and I keep throwing stuff out. So I actually decided I will shop more with my eyes open, basically. So I will shop more. I'm missing the word now, but so I will go into the shop and have in mind what I want to cook. And then I started really getting into it. And in my neighborhood in Cologne, I have this really, really nice, really tiny small market that's called the Good Food Markt, the Good Food Market. And they are actually a group of volunteers who will go to the farmers and pick up the food, vegetables, stuff that are not perfect for the supermarket. So if you have like a crooked cucumber, they won't sell it, but that's just strange. And to me, it's weird because I don't mind at all. And they will pick all of that up and put it in their shop. And they have actually really a really nice approach to it as well, because they say you can pay whatever it is worth to you. So if you have a lot of money, you can obviously pay more for it. You probably have a sense of how much it will be worth. And if you don't have that much money, that's cool too. You can still get like proper vegetables, stuff you can use. And it's not just that, it's also drinks. It's all sort of stuff. I bought cocoa there. It's a weird, but really, really nice place. And they just keep doing that for free. They even keep doing this during this time. It's just a great place. So I go there a lot and I just pick that.
Say the name of the market again.
The Good Food Markt. Well, that which would actually really fit in well with Good Place, but yeah, the Good Food Markt.
It does sort of fit, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, what is your name and where are you from?
My name is Sarah. I am from Holland, Michigan.
Very cool. I have connections to Holland, Michigan, to that area anyway. The yes. Greater Grand Haven, Saugatuck, Holland, Muskegon, you know, environs.
West Michigan is a wonderful place to live. For all of its foibles, I really love it here.
Talk to me a little bit about The Good Place. How did you hear about it? When did you start watching it, et cetera?
I started watching right from the beginning. I think I really heard about it because Mike Schur is involved. And my husband and I have loved The Office and Parks and Rec. So anything with Mike's name attached to it kind of automatically piques my interest. So I started watching right from the beginning. We, of course, are in this whole new age of watching creative content through various different formats. So we don't have cable right now. I would watch online on NBC.com. Nice little plug there. I would watch online on NBC.com the very next day. And I was hooked from the beginning. I mean, it was the whole Doug Forsett thing that just killed me. I mean, honestly, it was, I really love, you know, West Michigan really is kind of a Christian-centric community. And I loved the fact that this show really kind of approached the afterlife from a perspective of a little bit right, a little bit right, a little bit right. But man, Doug Forsett, he nailed it.
Are there other things from the rest of the series? Do you have a, you know, favorite scenes, favorite moments, favorite sayings, anything? You needn't, but I just wonder if anything comes to mind.
Yeah. There's a scene where Eleanor and Janet are in Michael's office, and this is right after Chidi decides to get his memory erased from season. I can't remember if it's the end of season three or the beginning of season four. Yeah. And Eleanor asks Janet, why, what is going on? What is the purpose? What is the point? If we fall in love, why do we feel such pain? And I'm like texting my friend, just give Kristen Bell all the awards right now. Because the emotion in that scene, just the pure unbridled humanity was completely overwhelming. And, you know, you fall in love with the show 1,000 times every episode, but that's something that really sticks in my memory.
Sarah Barr, what's good?
So many things are good. The first thing that came to my mind when I thought about this question was the medical team at the University of Michigan Hospital. I had the honor of being a living liver donor for a friend of mine in January. And the care that we both received from the team at the transplant center and the surgical team, everyone from nurses to doctors to custodial staff, everyone went just above and beyond to make me feel comfortable. They were professional, they were kind, and they made a really excellent experience that much better. So that was my first thought when I thought about what's good.
How are you doing? How is the donee doing? How are you both?
Thank you. I am great. The human body is miraculous. It is really fascinating. They removed about 60% of my liver and transplanted it to my recipient. And within 6 months, that grows back.
Wow.
So I will have a fully functioning liver, and so will my recipient.
So this is when, I'm sorry, when was this? This is very
January.
Recent.
Yes.
Good heavens.
Yes. Wow. So within a couple weeks, the liver actually swells to approximately the same mass, but you don't get the same 100% function for about 6 months. But we're getting closer to that, and I feel fantastic. I feel great.
That sounds pretty good. Hi, what is your name and where are you from?
I'm Ella. I am from Edmond.
I'm Lily Beth Brinkman. We're from Edmond. These are my kids.
I'm Bennett. I'm 20.
And I'm Ramey. And I'm
50. Where is Edmond?
We are a suburb of Oklahoma City. We actually live in the city limits of Oklahoma City and go to Edmond School. So it's in Oklahoma City.
Tell me a little bit about Edmond, Oklahoma. What's your life like there?
Well, I have two college students. These two are home from the University of Oklahoma, where their semester's been canceled, and they are doing online classes and keeping up with friends virtually through Zoom conferences and all of that. I've been working from home. I'm communications director for a bank, and I also do a lot of other projects outside of that. So we've been really busy. All of us have, actually.
What year are the two of you in college, and what are you studying? What were you studying?
I'm a freshman. I'm studying psychology on a pre-med track.
Very cool.
I'm a sophomore in college. I'm studying journalism and letters, which is like a liberal arts major, and then minoring in physics.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Very cool. talk to me about The Good Place. How did you find it? Did you watch it together or separately? Did you watch it when it was on originally or stream it later? How'd you do it?
So Rainey, I think, started
I found it on Netflix from a friend.
Good and for you.
I told mom about it, and I kind of binge watched the whole season one day, the whole first season.
So. Way too much time on his hands.
Yeah.
He can get his grades up later.
No, he's doing great.
I think we all watched the first two seasons on Netflix, and then we caught up with the third season whenever it was airing, and then watched it every week.
I loved the video of you guys telling this the stars of it, and surprise. I mean, I thought Kristen Bell and Ted Danson telling them. I thought that was so fun to see after it was all said then.
Other episodes that stick out, other sayings or phrases or, you know, the dumb stuff, the smart stuff, like what other impressions did you have of the series?
As a letters major for me, one of the things that we study is philosophy. And so I had watched most of it when I took a philosophy class last semester. And I found myself going back to like the trolley problem episode and then just using a lot of the stuff that we, especially when we were studying ethics, and then going back to The Good Place and studying all that stuff too. I thought it was a lot of fun getting to like study it and then go back and watch everything.
That's really neat.
I watched it, or whenever I was like watching this past season and everything, I mean, I was in my dorm room and I would just watch it. But after every single time I would watch one, I would call my mom and we would talk about each episode for like an hour and discuss it and everything.
And you had a private podcast.
Yeah, she really did. We just, I don't know, just discuss like the meaning behind all of it. And just, I don't know, I love discussing it and I recommend it to everyone that I talk to. I'm like, you have to watch this.
It just brought up a lot of really thoughtful discussions, and it was in such a neat way that was accessible to everybody.
Please tell me a little bit about this column that I read about.
I contribute to a column called 204060 Etiquette. It runs in the Oklahoman each week. It's a generational etiquette column. You ask an etiquette question and you get a 20-something and a 40-something and a 60-something perspective. And we have a guest each week, which adds another layer as well. My mom is actually the 60-plus because we've done it for so long. We've all kind of aged out of our category just recently. I shouldn't say that, but I'm the 40-plus answer. And it's been a real, we have covered everything from online issues to thank you notes to wedding etiquette. I mean, and people have asked, it's been a really, really great column. And so we welcome all questions, and we've done it for over 10 years.
Oh, good heavens. Lily Beth Brinkman, what's good?
There is, well, first of all, the fact that my kids and I are all sitting right here together is really good. And I'm so thankful they're here. But about 5 years ago, we had a house fire and our house burned down and we were here and we all were so thankful because we got out safely, including our dog. And we felt throughout that whole process, we felt such love and gratitude from our neighbors and from our different communities, our church communities, our school communities, our friends, our family. We just felt so much gratitude for people that were willing to just kind of help carry us along the way. And it just shows what a community is and how important the community is, and just gave us a really good sense of what that means to everybody. And we like the idea of everybody having a community that can carry them through something like that. So we spent a lot of time laughing through that and crying. I mean, I think I woke them up one morning sobbing, which freaked them out because I was like a couple of days afterwards. But that was really, there were a lot of blessings that came out of that, including a new house, but we were thankful the whole time. And you just, it's fun to see that.
The house that you're in now burned down and then was rebuilt. What happened?
We tore it down to the foundation and rebuilt it. It's kind of a heck of a way to get a new house. I don't really recommend it.
Most people just move.
we decluttered and we got a new house, but that's not the easy way.
Where were you in the meantime while all the construction was happening?
So one of my friends, her dad is an athletic director at a college, and it was right as all of the college students were moving out for the summer. And so we lived there for a month, and then we lived in a rent house for a little less than a year.
Wow. Okay. Did you rebuild the same house or did you make changes?
We added a room.
We did add the room we're sitting in right now. We added that, but it was basically the same layout because insurance, and you just can't do a whole lot extra. So, but we have a new house and we did like 9-foot ceilings. And so we love it. We actually love it better than the one we lost.
That's so really neat.
But we did lose all of our furniture, all of our clothes, like everything. But yeah, we were really, I don't know, we just felt a lot of gratitude throughout that whole process. So, and you see that now with this crazy time, people reaching out, people using their gifts to help other people, whatever those gifts are.
That's really lovely. I hope it's okay. I think we're being joined. Yeah, we are.
Oh, how exciting.
Can we hear you, Darcy? Hi, yes, we can. Hi.
Oh, you guys are so awesome. We're so thrilled.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, family.
This is Lily Beth and Ella, and tell me again.
Bennett
and Ramey.
And hi, guys.
How is it now that the show's ended? Are y'all still in withdrawal? Are you sad or moved on to other projects?
Well, no, we're sad. I think we're sad forever and ever for the rest of our lives.
We are too.
Aww. You know, it has been a long time in a way.
August.
And there's been many weird little ends along the way. I think I don't know when I'll get over this sort of sadness of being done. We're always looking for like ways to just even say hi to each other.
That's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's maybe a forever sad, but it's also like equally grateful. You know, it's a group of, you know, you get it. You listen to the podcast. It's a group of people that really like cares about each other and loves each other. And it's any sort of excuse we have to say hi. Can you hear Penny going
weep?
That's what that came through as well in the show. Just the excellence and the support that you guys had for each other, like the whole crew.
Oh man, I love that. It really was real, you know? And beyond, like even beyond the cast with the writers and the crew, and it just was, it was as special as could possibly be.
Darcy, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for, you know, watching the show and being so lovely, and stay safe out in Oklahoma. And I'm so glad you guys were together. Have a good, fun family meal tonight.
Thank you.
Bye, Penny. Bye, Darcy.
Bye,
love
guys.
You.
Bye.
Thank you so much, you guys. We really appreciate you doing this. Thanks for reaching out, and thanks for spending this time with us. Thank you for watching The Good Place. Thank you for listening to The Good Place, the podcast, and thank you for doing this.
Well, keep it up and hang in there.
Hello, please tell me your name and where you are.
Hi, my name is Sergio. I'm in Bogota, Colombia.
And tell me a little bit about your life in Bogota.
Well, I work as a motion designer. I work freelance, so mostly I work from home, which makes this quarantine thing like just any other day. I'm a motion designer, which is essentially kind of like a less talented Neat Noggle. So he does a lot of work in visual effects. I have done a little bit of work in visual effects, but mostly I do like animated videos for companies and TV advertisements and stuff like that.
That's cool. Now, do you make other people's drawings move, or do you draw as well?
I do a little bit of both, depending on what is needed. But yeah, not to the extent of like making like a giraffe come to life like Janet does. I'm a little bit less talented than that, but
that's very cool. Now, what is your life like right now? You said you're in quarantine, you're on lockdown. Do you have roommates? Do you live with your family? What's your life like?
I currently live with my family. I live with my mom and my sister. And well, the only difference really is, I mean, I would always work from home. That hasn't changed. But now they're all here all the time, which is, I mean, I'm like, I love them. I really do love them. But like, come on.
I think we're all feeling that way about people we deeply admire and love. But like, come on. And now tell me a little bit about The Good Place. Did you find it in season one and watch it live? Did you binge it later? How'd you find it?
Okay, so when I started watching, all of season one was already on Netflix. And I found it because my sister and a friend of mine recommended it. Now, my friend actually kind of spoiled the ending, but I didn't actually quite realize it. Like, he said something about like, oh, you know, I wonder like, what if life were actually hell? And I was like, okay, that's a weird thing to say. And then when I was watching the show, I was like, is this what's going on? Like, is that the thing? But it worked so well without it that I was like, no, there's no way. And then I got to a twist and I was like, he was right.
Sergio Ribeiro, what's good?
Okay, well, I think that there's a tendency, and just people tend to do this sometimes. I know why we do it. We kind of like put up these walls and we protect ourselves emotionally sometimes. And I do that. I've done that for a very long time. But recently I've realized that something that's very good is being vulnerable and letting people see you just the way you are, even the shameful bits, even the bad bits that may not be so graceful. I suffer from mental illness, and for me, you know, for a very long time, I was kind of keeping people away from that. For example, my family, I didn't really tell them my diagnosis and I kept them very sheltered. And then I recently, actually, just a few months ago, I actually got the chance to open up and be like, hey guys, well, this is what's happening. I have this thing and it makes me a little bit different than you guys. And the reaction has been mostly just overwhelming with love and support and everything. I have found that in several areas of my life, even in like professional areas, like where I've been able to tell clients like, hey guys, so I have this thing. I'm emotionally kind of a mess. And they have understood and they have been like, hey, it's totally cool. Do you think you can get this by some other week then? And it's like, yeah, I can do that. Like, it's just, it's amazing. Sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes people don't get it. That's fine. But I think that if people were a little bit more vulnerable in their daily lives, even if it's just like, you know, you don't say, I love you to someone as often, just maybe like say it, maybe try it out. Maybe you like it.
For sure.
I have a borderline personality disorder, BPD, and OCD, which is not a good combo. Basically means that I'm super obsessive. And as a partner, you know, in a romantic relationship, that can sometimes be a little bit overwhelming and a little bit hard to understand. And for the longest time, I've tried to just like pretend I'm not this way. So when I'm with someone, I'm like, nah, I'm just cool. I'm chill. Like, what? Someone would do that? What? No, that makes no sense. With my last, in my last relationship, I actually was the first person that I ever told this. I was like, hey, I have this things and I do things that relate to you. Like, I am a little bit obsessed with you. So I shared that and I was like, so yeah, I am a little bit crazy and I'm sorry I put you in this weird space. And his reaction was just, you know what, dude, that's fine. I get it. You're different, but I'm not uncomfortable and I know it's not really about me. And from that point on, I was like, well, then what am I doing? I'm going to tell everyone that I'm weird.
I think if we were all to be vulnerable, we'd find out we're all weird.
Yeah, we're all very weird.
There's a saying in comedy, in writing especially, that which is most personal is most universal. Like, you know, that's why a lot of jokes are super specific, because it's the things that we think that we're alone in the world about that people are like, yeah, no, I do that too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But that's my answer. Be vulnerable. It's worth it.
That is good.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, what is your name and where are you from?
My name is Mona Abadel. I am originally from Yemen, but currently living in Malaysia.
How long have you been living in Malaysia?
Now for 3 years.
Excellent. And what took you to Malaysia 3 years ago?
Actually, I came here to start my PhD. So now I'm studying. I'm doing my PhD in food technology.
Oh, that's so interesting. What is food technology?
It's mainly about the manufacturing of food. So whatever you're seeing in the supermarket, all the different products, that's food technology. That's where we came in. We put the different ingredients, make the food last longer on the shelf, all these things. Yeah.
And what will you do with your degree once you're finished?
hoping, so it's a PhD, so either academia or working for a company in R&D, food company. Yes.
So you grew up in Yemen?
Yes.
What was that like?
I mean, Yemen is really underdeveloped small country, but in general, even though it's a poor country, it was a very interesting place to grow up in because we grew up in families all around us, and families being so close to one another, to each other, communities helping each other. And that was one of the things that helped when I was back there, and one of the things that's helping people back there during the time of war, that communities stick together and help each other, which is really cool.
Muna, I hope you don't mind. I have a friend that wanted to say hello. Muna, this is my friend Ted Danson.
Oh my God.
Hi.
Oh my God. Hi.
Hey, how are you? Tell me your name again.
Muna.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Ted, Muna is from Yemen but lives in Malaysia.
Wow. And that's where you are right now?
That's what I am right now.
Oh, how wonderful. How are you all doing? What's it like there?
I mean, right now we're in lockdown. So we're staying indoors most of the time, except going to the supermarket or a shop just to run quick errands. But other than that, we're staying in. And right. It's been happening for almost 3 weeks now.
What do you do? Do you wear a mask and gloves and all that?
Yes. I have my mask, I have my gloves, I have my little sanitizer in here.
Wow.
Now, Ted, I have to give a big warning. Muna in Malaysia, they've only seen season 3, Ted, so please don't talk about season 4.
Yes, please. Okay. No spoilers.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you know that I'm a demon, right?
Yes, I know that. For sure. Michael is one of my favorite characters. He is just an amazing character, amazing work.
It's a fun, it's one of the shows that I am most proud to have been part of. And I cannot wait for you to see season 4, but I won't ruin it, but you will be so happy.
Oh, wow. Just can't wait for it to come here to be released in Malaysia. We're still waiting. Yeah. And it's just a very, very smart show. And it's not something that you really see a lot, shows that are really smart, but at the same time, very funny. That's what I appreciate mostly about the show.
It's an amazing time. Yes, Mark. Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, buddy. How are you doing? How are you and Mary faring in this lockdown?
We're doing well. It's we're doing very well. There are moments where you get a little sad, a little scared, and when you hear friends maybe get it, and but mostly we are. Well, first off, we love each other hugely, so. This is a kind of a remarkable time, too, to be able to spend this much time together. And, there's so many good silver linings amongst something that's very sad. It's hard to not be around our grandchildren, you know. It's hard not to be able to hug your kids. So it's a strange time, but we're doing really, really well, yeah.
That's wonderful. I hadn't thought about it for you, though. You and Mary are so go, 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 each of you in different directions with all of your jobs and things, that this would be an interesting little time together.
It's lovely, actually. I mean, we really have laughed a lot. We do a lot of cleaning. We do a lot of cooking. Mealtime is very exciting, you know. Cooking, Yeah, no, we're very, very lucky. I mean, we're blessed beyond belief to be able to have each other, to be able to be together, to, you know, love so much each other. You know, we're very lucky. Very, very lucky.
Yeah. For sure. Ted, you are an absolute prince to do this. Thank you for stopping by to say hello.
I'm so glad. Muna, is that your name?
Yes.
Muna, somewhere, someday, you know, maybe you'll meet my wife and I, and we'll remember this conversation. But if we don't, have a wonderful life.
Stay thank safe. You. Thank you so much.
Thank you for watching the show.
And thank you. Keep making wonderful shows. So I can tell, everyone that I talk to you.
Well, you keep making wonderful food so we can all eat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. I love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye. Bye, bye-bye. Muna.
Sorry for the interruption, Muna. Yeah.
Oh. Wait, I can still hear, you know.
I know. It was...
I'm not sure how to hang up.
Does he do that to you all the time?
Yeah. Oh, what a burden. What a burden. Muna Abadil, what's good?
I believe in my personal belief that being alive is something that's good and we need to enjoy. I mean, we see the bad news every day nowadays, and we're just bombarded with a lot of bad news and people dying. And I think we should appreciate that we are alive every second. Appreciate that this we're giving another chance to do something every day. People, I also believe in people, believe that people are good. Communities that stick together. Here, my friends, even though I spend spending this lockdown kind of by myself, but I have my friends who are always checking up on me, calling me, making sure that I have everything I need back home. And people helping each other. So I believe that people are good.
That is absolutely lovely and very, very good. Thank you, Muna. Hi, what is your name and where are you from?
My name is Sean Schultz. I am from Jacksonville, Florida.
Duval. Now, are you from there, or are you an arrival?
Yep, I was born and bred here for 31 years at a hospital called Memorial Hospital. My dad's joke when we drove by was that he would point at the garbage can, the big dumpster, and be like, "That's where you were born," because dad humor. But yeah, I'm born and bred here in Jacksonville for 31 years now.
Now, I must ask, were we right?
About what?
About Jacksonville?
Well, oh yeah. So I just was watching that one, the episode 4 one, about Jacksonville a lot on the podcast to kind of refresh myself. And I would say in some ways, yes. So the biggest thing is we're the largest city by like mass in the United States. So I feel like if you divided us up into like 5 cities, most of them would seem pretty cool, you know, but we're so big and everyone's so spread out. But yeah, we're definitely kind of weird. I feel like there's a lot of good, like, you know, 3 a.m. Waffle House stories that could be shared about Jacksonville. And my biggest correction about when they went to the Jacksonville and Buffalo playoff game, which was like our first playoff game for the Jaguars in 10 plus years. So it was like a really big deal. They said they couldn't find any Jags fans. I can guarantee that they went to the Landing, which we actually tore down a month ago because no one went there. It was like a place on the river. And it was basically like no one from Jacksonville went there. And we just kind of left it open for opposing fans to go to. So like they thought they were taking over Jacksonville, but really it was just kind of like the most swamp part of Jacksonville that we just kind of would let other teams, you know, like use for a little while. But yeah, for the most part, we're definitely kind of weird.
Was that something that was said on the podcast by like Joe Mandy maybe or Manny Jacinto?
Yeah, Joe kind of like briefly mentioned when he was on, like he came here on a tour a couple months before that, how it was just like everything felt like, you know, there was just nobody around, felt like a zombie town. And I feel like the biggest part of that is because like we're so spread out. We have like swamp lands with like swamp people that live there. And then we have like beaches, and then we have like the younger, you know, cool hip area, which is obviously where I live, being young and hip. But the Jags thing was they were saying they could only find Buffalo Bills fans. So I have to stand up for my fellow Jacksonville Jaguars.
So tell me about your t-shirt.
So we are living in the new era of Jacksonville Jaguars football, which we say every couple of years and then usually to no avail. But the newest is last year in the 2019 draft, we drafted in the 6th round, also the round that Tom Brady was drafted. Coincidence, we'll find out. But we drafted Gardner Minshew. So I have a shirt that I bought for the beginning of beginning of last season. So it says, I need a hero. And it's got the man himself. And we went 6-10 last year, which is still a losing record. But it's our second best record we've had in over a decade. So thank you, Gardner Minshew. So I'm definitely repping him big time. I had a mustache. I had to shave it for my wedding a little bit ago because I didn't want to like look back and be like, man, that was like a dumb choice to have a mustache that I only temporarily had for a wedding. But it looked pretty good. I feel like Minshew would have been proud.
Nice. Now, you told me that you were married not long ago?
Yeah. So we got married, and my wife, Molly, her brother, Ross, was our officiant, who did an amazing job. Shout out to Ross. But during our ceremony, he quoted Chidi. He did the line, life isn't a problem that you solve once and then you're done. It's something that you wake up every day and you solve it again and again. So I thought that was a really fun way to kind of, you know, that's very true with what was going on with the characters in the show. And it's very true with marriage. It's not just like you're happy one day and you're happy forever. Each day you got to work at it. And we're still new to that. But I think we're doing a good job so far. And it was kind of just fun. There was like the sprinkling of people in the audience that totally got it. So it was like a fun little, you know, secretive moment.
That's wonderful. That's really cool. I wasn't, when you said that Chidi was quoted, I wasn't sure which line it would be. That's a great one. Now talk to me about The Good Place. Are there favorite characters or scenes or episodes or arcs or jokes or runners that that stood out, memories that you have, things that you find yourself quoting or anything along those lines?
I mean, I feel like, you know, it's unfair. Obviously, everything Jacksonville. I got to say Donkey Doug's probably my single favorite character. I think I'm trying to remember his name in real life. I feel bad. I just forgot it.
Mitch Norito.
Yes, Mitch. I followed him on Instagram not too long ago, and I don't use it a lot, so he should feel very honored that my lonely pity followed him. But I feel like he is like just as pure of a soul, minus like the illegal stuff, as his character was. So I really love like watching him and Jason and the reveal that Donkey Doug's your dad and Pillboy and all of that. But like one not Jacksonville related thing, because I feel like that's a cheat answer for me. So I definitely feel like I had a connection with you. I love all the bad boys. And Glenn got goofied. So I always love watching kind of the scummy guys. What are they up to? And then you eventually get the heart of gold at the end and all of that. So it's always kind of fun rooting for, you know, the person that wants to change the least to finally change and join the team.
Yeah, that was a remarkable opportunity for me. You know, character-wise and as an actor to, you know, have to melt a little bit, to have to show some humanity after millennia of evil. Sean Schultz, what's good?
Mark, I'm glad you asked me that. There's a lot of way for things to be good, but I would say for me, one of the biggest ways for things just being good is just the simple act of trying to be good. It's, you know, I feel like you can't put one definition on it, but it's as simple things as me finding a passion for a show, and then it brings me and my wife closer, and it gives me something to talk about with my friends when things are kind of rough right now with the world, and you get to rewatch it. And I feel like that's something you don't get with a lot of other things. You know, right now I'm stuck in my home. We are told to stay here to be safe, and being able to rewatch you guys on The Good Place, and then you doing podcasts where you invite me on, and then I get to kind of have this special connection with you for a second. So I feel like it's the million small things that you don't think about day to day that when you slowly kind of add them all up, you kind of get something good.
That was absolutely perfect. Thank you so much. The brief moment of a special connection. That's one of the reasons that we wanted to do this, these Skype sessions with people, just to have a moment to, you know, see people and meet and say hello and remember stuff and laugh and connect.
It is by far the most special connection I've ever had to a TV show now. You know, like other shows from my childhood or whatever that I thought I liked more, like I'll never be able to say, oh, well, I got to sit down and talk to one of the stars of it that, you know, is just a normal guy, you know, a friendly, nice guy. And so it's going to have, you know, that story that I'll be able to tell for the rest of my life now.
That's very cool. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Laura Hauser, and I'm from Mequon, Wisconsin.
Hi, it's very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks for being here. Tell me a little bit about your life in Mequon, did you say?
Yes. So I've lived here for almost 5 years. I live here with my four children. Their ages range from 15, just turned 15, to 4. I am a widowed single mom.
Oh, my goodness.
My husband, Scott, was a pastor, and that's what brought us to Wisconsin. And he and I watched Thursday night NBC TV as our date nights for years and years as a pastor. Friday was always his day off, and so Thursday night was kind of our Friday night. And so lots of NBC sitcoms were a big part of our lives. The year The Good Place premiered, we watched from the premiere and loved it immediately. Scott being a pastor, obviously all those questions of moral philosophy were certainly engaging to us. My older two boys loved the fake swears. That was a big draw for them.
Do they get to use them? Do you let them use them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And we watched through that first season. My husband, Scott, was a really, really healthy guy. And then the year that The Good Place came out, fall, he had some kind of unexplained health issues we thought were resolved. And then in December, he started to get sick, and we thought it was pneumonia. And then at the beginning of January 2017, he was diagnosed with angiosarcoma, which is a really rare and very, very vicious form of cancer. And by the time he was diagnosed, it had spread from his heart to his lungs. That's why we thought he had pneumonia. Actually, the season finale of The Good Place aired the night before he started his chemotherapy treatments. So he didn't get to see the twist, and that makes me a little sad. I know that we were exhausted that night, so I'm sure we didn't watch it. I know we DVR'd it. And I eventually watched it with the boys, but Scott never got to see it. And that makes me a little sad that he missed that fun twist. He died a month to the day after his diagnosis. So in February of 2017, I said goodbye to him. And so the last 3 years has been a journey for my kids and I to kind of understand living in grief. And The Good Place has been a really important part of that.
I'm so sorry. That's so much.
Sure. Yeah, it is a lot. But I mean, I have to say there were a lot of shows that Scott and I watched together that 3 years later, I still have not been able to watch. Just a couple. That's really common, I know, for a lot of widows. But The Good Place was a happy thing for us. And so I don't remember when the boys and I watched The Twist. But it was, I do remember just reacting with such like amazement and, oh, you know, it was amazing. and we were totally sucked in. So when it premiered in the fall, man, we were on our couch. There was no DVRing. We were waiting for it to come on TV. For the first time maybe in their lives, my kids learned to sit and watch a television program through commercials, because we don't usually do that. We'll usually stream and binge, but we were so eager to see The Good Place that we would be on our couch on time, and we would sit through the commercials, and we would, after it was over, you know, talk about it excitedly. So it has been just a wonderful gift to us to have that as a something that kind of cements our family together on a regular basis.
That's astounding. That's incredible. Do you, as the show neared the finale and it was touching on end of life and the beyond, did you ever have to say, I need to press pause on this?
The episode, the season finale of season 3 with Chidi and Eleanor in the neighborhood was really particularly touching to me. I actually, because I'm a weirdo, I actually wrote to you about this, never expecting you to ever see or know about it. But afterwards, I was just so touched by that episode, I had to tell somebody. And so I wrote to you on Facebook. And like, I think it probably says in the messenger, I know you're never going to see this, but I have to say this to someone, that that scene in particular, you know, because I had to just say goodbye to the love of my life. And I am incredibly grateful and very fortunate that I got to do that. You know, I got to sit with him in his hospital room. He was intubated on Valentine's Day, and we got to say our goodbyes. I mean, how many people get to do that? That's a remarkable blessing I do not take for granted. But that scene with Eleanor and Chidi really called back a lot of those emotions for me. And so after that episode ended, I was really devastated, but in a good way, and reached out and wrote to you about how grateful I am to the entire world of The Good Place, all of the people that are involved, for doing that, and for just making that piece of art that really spoke to an important part of my life. So that was maybe even a little bit more important to me in my personal grieving process, that finale in the courtyard. And then, of course, the last few scenes with Kristen and Will sitting on the porch and talking together were incredible.
That is so lovely. I remember you said something about, in your note, about the certain hope of a one-day reunion or something.
Yeah. And so when Will says, well, when Chidi says to Eleanor, you know, we'll just, it's Jeremy Bearby, baby. You know, we'll hang out in the dot of the eye forever. Yeah, that one got me pretty good.
Wow. Laura Hauser, what's good?
To me, what's good is normalizing grief. So it's something that's a really important part of my life and will always be. When my husband died, it was pretty fast and unexpected. He and I were together from the time that we were teenagers. He's the love of my life and the father of my 4 children, and I never imagined that I would do this without him. That's not something that will ever go away. And so I have been learning how to do grief well for 3 years now. And I appreciate anyone and anything that helps to normalize that. And especially right now, I think so much of the world is living in grief of one kind or another. And those of us who have been here for a while are not particularly pleased to see more company, but we know how to do it. And it's nice to not be alone. It's always nice not to be alone. So for me, the two two big touchstones for me in normalizing grief have been Krista Bell, first of all, for her work as Eleanor in the extraordinary half hour of American television. You know, it was the wonderful thing about The Good Place is how it injects humor and joy into really difficult and deep and important conversations. And so that was huge and important for me to get to see broadcast to the whole world. And then on top of that, my kids are, of course, big fans of Frozen and Frozen 2. And so we've seen it. We saw it twice in the movie theater. And the first time I saw it, of course, when it gets to the song, The Next Right Thing, I was a mess, of course. And we bought the soundtrack right away. We listened to it on repeat. And I almost always skip that song. I
really
can't quite make it through to that song, not because I don't love it. I love it really deeply. I just am not always ready for the you know, the emotion that that brings up. I'm perfectly fine with crying. It's been one of my special skills in grief. I cry a lot and I'm okay with it. And sometimes I go right to that song if I need a really good cry. But to hear deep grief expressed so just so perfectly. I know the words are the Lopez's and that they're amazing, but the way that Kristen performs it is just really so authentic. And then my other touch point of normalizing grief is an author named Kate Bowler. And she wrote a book called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I Have Loved. And it's absolutely wonderful. She is a professor at Duke Divinity School. And at the age of 35, as a young mom, she was diagnosed with incurable cancer. And she is living with that that cancer diagnosis still now. But her book is just a wonderful exploration of what it's like to live with the unexpected and to live with grief. And she has gone on since writing that wonderful book to start a podcast called Everything Happens, has amazing guests on to talk about some of those really important topics. And she has a beautiful social media presence. And she has especially been talking on her Insta stories over the last, almost 40 days now about Lent and the Christian concept of Lent and what it's like to live in a time where we acknowledge suffering in a way that doesn't dismiss suffering or make it some higher calling, but acknowledges that suffering is real and it's bad, but it's not the end of the story. And I just so appreciate anyone who is able to kind of spread that word into the world, because I think it's a really important message all the time, but especially right now.
Thank you, Lara, for sharing this deeply personal and lovely and horrifying and wonderfully beautiful, hopeful story.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, Mark.
This has been The Good Place, the podcast. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. I played Sean. Thank you for listening or watching or whatever just happened. We're not certain what forms this will take. Regardless, thank you for being a part of it. And further thanks to those of you who wrote in and who were able to participate. It was awfully nice to meet you. And with hope, maybe someday we can say hello in person. Until then, go do something good.